I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Though I will read this text and we will make reference later to this passage, and we've seen these verses on other occasions, my message today is a topical message. There are a lot of verses I will ask you to turn to look at today, and so be prepared for that. But I do want to begin by reading in Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28 down through verse 30. Jesus speaking says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A couple of weeks ago, I was reminded of a basic fact. There is a simple plea in the gospel. Sometimes in our zeal to prevent false professions, we become as lawyers and we add a lot of whereases and wherefores along with addendums and footnotes. And I fear that sometimes we might make the gospel too complicated. Oh, I realize that the theology which underlies the truth of the gospel and the biblical foundation for regeneration and justification are rather involved. But that doesn't give us cause to hinder those who desire to enter in. And please don't misunderstand me. There are basic things which a sinner must know before he or she can truly be saved. But at the same time, a person doesn't have to have a degree in Bible to come to Jesus. A balance must be found. We ought not be too in-depth, but yet we cannot water down either. Truth is, when we look at the ministry of John or Jesus or the apostles, we find familiar language, basic thoughts, common illustrations, good sense, and logical presentation. Although the lessons were often in parabolic form, the appeal to sinners was clear and plain. It is then my objective to give a very simple plea today. I wish to throw my pitch right over the plate, right down the center, and I desire to throw it soft enough for you to hit a home run. I would like for you to take just a common thought that's found in the Gospels and give a straightforward, clear-cut appeal to the sinner. May my presentation be biblical and thorough, yet easy to understand. I want to speak to you today a message which I've entitled, and I receive it from the first three words of our reading, that first phrase, "Come unto me." We find Jesus speaking, and he says, "Come unto me," and that's the title of my message. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are able to be with us, and we just ask that you would set apart the thoughts and the cares of the world and anything that would hinder, that we might focus upon you, upon your word, that, Lord, that which you've laid upon my heart to share with your people at this time, that it might have free reign today, that you would work it in every heart by your Spirit, and we pray especially for the lost, that you might convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that today might be the day of their salvation. We pray that you would grant them much grace. Lord, we just lift up this time to you that we might honor you and worship you, and our hearts go out to those who would love to be here but cannot due to sickness. We pray that you would bless them and heal them. Those who are away traveling, many are out. We ask that you would guard them as they go about the roads and they travel. Lord, bring them back safe. And so we commit this time to you today, and we honor you with it, and we pray that the Christian might be encouraged and the lost person might be convicted and drawn to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think about these three words, "come unto me," there are two basic elements, or two points, I would say, that come out to that into my perspective. One is the resource, and the other is the response. Come unto me. Three words, two thoughts that derive from that. Now, the first thing I would like to deal with is the resource. The phrase is, "Come unto me." And I think it's necessary to recognize the resource because we have Jesus here speaking, and he's making a statement to the crowds, and he says, "Come unto me." And so Jesus is the one who's making that expression. Don't misunderstand that I am personally saying it to you. I'm not. I am speaking from the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me. And it does make a difference who the resource is, because there are so many siren songs out there, so many people, so many concepts, so many philosophies, so much vain deceit out there that's willing to take you and would ruin you if they could. And there's so many that would say, "Come to me, come to me, come to me." Well, you better recognize the resource. You better recognize who it is that's offering you to come. And you better be able to discern whether or not you should respond, whether or not you should go. But I say unto you very clearly today, when we speak of Jesus Christ, you should turn to Him. You need to respond to Him. And so it's my effort to express unto you the resource here, who is Jesus Christ, so that you would recognize, yes, He is who I should respond to. So, the resource. It's me, that's Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about this for just a few moments, I'll offer unto you several items. One is, this Jesus of whom we speak, of which you've heard for many, many years, and have read about and you know, and of course, those of you who are saved certainly know Him personally, but you know, there might be some who don't know Him so much. This Jesus is one, as Peter speaks of in the book of Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read to you this verse, one who is approved of God. Now, I'll tell you, if you're going to respond to voices, you want to respond to voices that are approved of God, not disapproved of Him. Jesus was approved of God. So I read to you Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching, and part of his message was this: "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. This one of whom I speak, Jesus Christ, was approved of God." And if there's no other reason, you should follow Him. You should respond to Him, because God says, "I approve of Him." But if you would then, turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. This resource is approved of God. Secondly, I remind you that He was the Son of Man. And what we're going to find here in just this few points here is the nature, the character of Jesus Christ. And I remind you that Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man. Just a couple references here in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus speaking, it's a time where He was going to heal a person, and He says, "Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise, take up thy bed and walk,' which is easier?" He says, but he says that you may know, verse 10, "that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Jesus Christ said, "I am the Son of Man," and He can heal. Well, we'll express why it is He can do that, but if you'll skip down to verse 28, same chapter, He talks about, "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Very succinctly, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. That is, He became a man. I refer you to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Let me read this to you. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." We know her name was Mary. She was a human being, right? And she had a human nature. And it says, "This virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, there's a segue there into the very next point, but what we find is Jesus Christ was born into this world. Jesus became a man, didn't He? Do not deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. Some view Jesus as simply a ghost and an apparition, and He really didn't become a man. He really didn't have a body. That's an error of theology. My friend, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. But as we read in the text and the declaration there that He should be born of Mary, and the name Emmanuel means God with us, then I must direct your attention and turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, He is also the Son of God. Now, I know that you know that, you believe that. Jesus Christ, this resource, who says, "Come unto me," was approved of God, the Son of Man, and is the Son of God. Luke 1:34 states this: Mary, when she was having this exchange with the angel about her having this child, said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And over in the book of John, in the first chapter, we read there that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And what that means is that Jesus Christ is God. But He left heaven, came to earth, laid aside His glory to become a man. There are many other verses we could point to you that prove this very thing, but I just want to make it very brief and very quick to you to understand. And if you hadn't gone to John, turn to John 1. To understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, but He's the Son of God. He's the one who makes this plea, "Come unto me." There in John chapter 1, you also find in verse 3, this one is the Creator. John 1:3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." You know what it says over in Colossians 1:16? Let me read it to you. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." We have the Creator of the universe saying, "Come unto me." That's the resource, isn't it? Well, I want to add another. He's not only the Creator. Jesus Christ is the sustainer of the universe. There, that very next verse in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "And He is before all things," and it says, "by Him all things consist." God created this thing to begin with, and you know why it continues to exist? Because He allows it to exist. He commands it to exist. And so our hearts continue to beat because He commands it so. Our life retains its into the body because God commands that we still are alive. When it's time for us to die, then we're dead, and you can't stop it. The earth and the moon and the sun and the stars and everything and all the elements and the nucleuses and the electrons in their orbits and you name it, whatever it is, all that does what it does because by Him all things consist. God is in control. Jesus is on His throne. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Sustainer. And He says, "Come unto me." Turn, if you would, then back to Matthew chapter 16. Not only do we find these things about this resource, this one who is making this call, but I also want to follow this up with the fact that Jesus Christ, this resource, is the Messiah. Matthew chapter 16, pick it up there in verse 15, where He's speaking to His disciples, and He says to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now you have to understand the word Christ is the word anointed, which is the name for the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Christ equals Messiah. And so, "Thou art the Messiah," Peter says. "You're the Son of the living God." Now we know He's the Son of Man and Son of God, but He's also the Messiah. So if you're looking for the Messiah, He's already come and He's in heaven right now because the Messiah is Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's Peter's explanation of it, but look at verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," talking to Peter, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." Without question, this great resource is the Messiah. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, but not only is He the Messiah, good news, my friend, He's the Savior. In Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21, we have the statement made, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus is Savior. And so we read in Luke 19:10, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15, Paul writes and he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And so when you think about this one who makes that plea, this great resource, and all these things which we've discussed, also keep in mind he is the Savior. Sinner, you need the Savior. Jesus is this Savior. And isn't it grand to know he says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." One other I'd like to remind you of who this Jesus is, this great resource. And I'm going to read these verses to you. This Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he talks about Christ, and he says, "Who is the blessed, the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is reiterated for us in Revelation chapter 19, in verse 16, when Jesus is coming back, and it says, "And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So you go back to the passage if you need to remember Matthew chapter 11. If you can remember those first three words, then you're good to go. But what do we find? The offer of this resource, "Come unto me," none other than Jesus Christ. And we've just given you a number of reasons and support of this person and why you should go to him. Now, back in that phrase, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, that where which we get our title from, "Come unto me," is the second point. I said to you there was the matter of the resource, but also the response. So what's the statement? "Come unto me." "Come unto." So you have the resource saying, "Come." Three aspects I want to discuss for just a moment. One is, this is a command. This is not an option. This is not a, "Well, if you feel like it." Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, is saying, "Come, come." And yet some of you have rebelled and turned away and will not come. And you dare turn your nose up to the God of heaven. And yet Jesus says, "Come." This is a command. Second aspect is, this is an opportunity. Aren't you glad that God has given an opportunity for sinners to come? Could God in His own righteousness and in His own plan and in His own purpose have said, "Well, you know what? You sinned against me. You went away from me. You're under judgment and condemnation. Too bad for you." He could have, but He didn't. Aren't you glad that God has made it possible for the fallen sinner, of which I was one, can come to Him? I can have forgiveness of sins. You can have forgiveness of sins. And as you sit there today and you make profession of faith in Jesus Christ and you say, "Yes, I've been saved. I've been born again." Aren't you glad God said, "Come. Come." What an opportunity. Sinner, you don't have to die and go to hell. You can come. Jesus commands you to come. And Jesus gives you the opportunity to come. But the third aspect that I want to submit unto you is that this is an action. "Come unto me." Jesus says, "Come unto me." That means response. That's why I entitle the last half of this, "The Response." You have the resource and you have the response. "Come unto me." So for you to know this information and to keep it to yourself and make no response will do you no good. You will die and perish in your own sin. Jesus said to you, "Come unto me." And I encourage you to be obedient today. Now, if you're going to be obedient, or if obedience is going to be found, I think there are three things that must be accomplished. I don't want to make this difficult. I want to make it as clear as I can. But I want you to know today, dear sinner friend, if you're going to be obedient to that command, "Come unto me," three things I believe must occur. Number one, there must be a recognition of your need. If you don't recognize yourself a sinner, if you don't see that there's a need, if you don't think that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, if you think that you can go to God, go your merry life and God's just going to let everybody in, you don't see any need. Why should you go to Christ? There's no reason to. But I submit unto you, you do have a need. There is a reason, and you need to recognize that need. You need to know that you're a sinner, apart from God, dead in your sins, and you know what? You can't do anything about that. You're dead. There must be a recognition of your need. Secondly, I believe there ought to be a realization of His supply. You have the God of the universe saying, "Come unto me." And if you recognize your need, I'm a sinner, you need to realize His supply. Why else would you go to Him? There are so many voices in the world that are saying, do this, do that, follow after me, believe this. And many and multitudes are following after those voices. And they're going to perish in hell forever because they're going to the wrong resource. You have a need. You recognize a need. But you better realize His supply. What Jesus Christ has done and what Jesus Christ will do for you. He says, "Come unto me." You're commanded to come. You have an opportunity to come. And you need to respond. But you're not going to respond until you know that there's something wrong. And then you realize, He can help me. And then, of course, the third thing that must occur is a reaction to His call. That's reiterated from just the first in the first three points about it's an action. There must be a response. Jesus says, "Come unto me." And yet some of you have not. You have not been obedient. You have not responded. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Now these three things, I believe, are expressed in the passage which we actually looked at not too long ago. But in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 12, listen. "But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Aren't all three of those things encompassed in that statement there? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. People can be sick, but not think that they're sick. They'll never go to the doctor. People may not be sick. They don't need the doctor. They that are whole need not a physician. But they that are sick, you know what they need? They need the doctor. Now, there are some people who know that they're sick, but will never go. They know they have a problem. They'll never seek for a solution. But I'll tell you, these three things are very evident here. You have to recognize your need. You have to have a realization of His resource or who He is, His supply. And you need to react to the call. And so, hey, I've been privileged over the last couple of weeks to be having a tooth problem. And you know, the thing hurts. And I've been to the dentist and he says nothing wrong. And it still hurts. And I go to the dentist, he says there's nothing wrong. And so I go, "Man, what's going on here?" But I know that I've got a problem. I go to somebody that might be able to help me. And the fact is, I've gone. Reaction. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to recognize you're a sinner, doomed and damned to a devil's hell. You need to recognize that Jesus alone is the Savior, and you need to respond to His call. He says, "Come to me." Will you come? Will you come? Turn, if you would, to the book of John chapter 7. This response, is very clear. "Come unto me." Well, that's simple, isn't it? Well, the theology of it all. Well, I understand that, but you don't have to express all that to the sinner. Jesus says, "Come unto me." I see this as a plea. And what I'm going to show you is just a number of verses here I'm going to ask you to turn to, because I think this is a plea, first of all, to those who have a spiritual need. John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Boy, well, that's a great invitation, isn't it? "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus says, "Come unto me." And He's talking to those who are in spiritual need. Back in our text in Matthew chapter 11, which we read in verse 28, He's speaking to those who were weary. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so this plea, "Come to me," talks to those who are in need, talks to those who are weary. Matthew chapter 19. Forgive me for my application here, but I trust you shall understand. Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 14. Little children were being brought to Jesus. They were rebuking the children and those who were bringing them. And Jesus said this in Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For such is as the kingdom of heaven." And yes, we can learn from that. But I just want to submit unto you this plea that is expressed to those who are in spiritual need, those who are weary, is to also to children of all ages. Can I say that? Will you allow me to make that application? As Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me." As He makes the command, "Come to me," it's to all men everywhere at any age. Come to Christ. Back to Mark chapter 1. I will submit one other thing to you here. This is a plea for those who are in spiritual need, that they might be saved. But I want to remind you something else. And we read in Mark chapter 1 and in verse 17 that Jesus also speaks to His own disciples. And it says in verse 17, "Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And what I submit unto you is, my dear friend, that as Jesus had made a general call, "Come unto me," and in the process of your life, God in His providence and His grace and His mercy came to you, convicted you of your sin, granted unto you repentance and faith, and brought you to new birth in Christ Jesus, and you've been saved, it's not the time for you to then say, "Well, all right, I come to Christ, I'm on my way now, and I do whatever I want to do." No, my friend, there's still a call. And He tells His own disciples, and He says, "Come ye after me." And so I just want to remind you, dear saved friend, that the response to Jesus doesn't end with salvation. You've been saved, yes, but there's still the call, "Come after me." I encourage you, dear Christian, to desire to follow after Jesus Christ, to walk after Him, to be found faithful, and to be found obedient. Turn, please, back to our reading in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I have taken that phrase, "Come unto me." And I've offered you the resource, who is Jesus and none other. And I've offered you the response. You need to go to Jesus. In conclusion, I go back to the passage in our reading, Matthew chapter 11. And in summary application, if you will, let us read these verses once again. First of all, you'll notice the command in verse 28. "Come unto me." You'll see that we ought to recognize our need. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." Have you done that? Do you recognize your need? Do you hear the command? Well, there's an exhortation to respond. Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." You've been exhorted. Come, take. Will you do it? What is the result if you do? Verse 28, the last part of that verse, "And I will give you rest." Are you tired today? You in need today? Jesus says, "Come and I'll give you rest." Verse 29, "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." Are you troubled? Are you upset? My friend, you can find rest. That's the result if you come. But I know the human mind and the human heart, we look at these things and we say, "Well, that's just too simple. It's got to be harder than that. We got to do something. We got to pitch in. We got to do our share." My friend, Jesus said, "Come unto me." And if you're lost, you need to just respond to the call, recognize who He is, see your need, and go to Jesus. And I'll tell you, He said over in John chapter 6, "Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." Boy, what a blessing that is. But beyond that, we who are saved need to follow after Him. We need to respond to Him. But yet the human mind says, "Oh, that can't be." And that's kind of expressed in verse 30 of that passage there in Matthew chapter 11, because He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And people have a hard time connecting that. What? The commands of Christ and the demands of Christianity? That's just too much, and that's just too simple, and that doesn't make sense. And we have all these things. And He just says, "Simply come. My yoke's easy. Doesn't seem like you can take a burden, but it'd be easy. My burden is light. You carry it on, but it's going to be light." That doesn't make sense, but He says that's the way it is. Will you believe? Will you respond? And so we have a very clear, basic, simple, clear-cut invitation. where the God of this universe, Jesus Christ, says, "Come unto me." Boy, how great that is. But you know what? Sad as it is, men still refuse to come. You know what Jesus said over in John chapter 5? Let me read to you verse 40. He speaks to those people there, and he says, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." Wow. As much as I've expressed to you today, as best as I can, the great resource and your response that's being required of you, some of you will not come. But what does Jesus say? "You will not come that you might have life." Sad, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're saved today? Aren't you glad He's given you eternal life? Boy, what a joy it is. But our hearts go out to those who are not saved, those who are lost, those who will not obey, those who will not yield, those who will not come. Sad it is. But I submit unto you as I finish that despite the rejection of men, we still hear what's written for us in Revelation 22:17. Here it is. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Dear sinner, today, you're in great need. I pray that you'd recognize that. And I pray that you would recognize and realize who He is. And He commands you to come. Would you respond? Would you be willing to take of the water of life freely? That's the simple appeal of the gospel, where Jesus says, "Come unto me." Would you do that today, sinner? Christian, would you rejoice at how simple that really is and what He has done for you those many years ago? Ah, may we be the kind of witness we ought to be. I'd like for us to stand, and we'll sing a song in closing. I invite you to turn to number 327.